Good morning, a Thursday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. Alan, last week, now former FBI Director James Comey asked a Justice Department official for more resources for the FBI's investigation into Russia's election meddling. That official then wrote the memo used to justify his firing. Yesterday, the Senate Committee Investigating Russia's demanded the records of Michael Flynn, President Trump's former national security advisor. In the editorial in the Times, they have an open letter to the Deputy Attorney General saying Rod Rosenstein has more authority than anyone else to restore America's confidence in their government.
Yes, we are hearing reports today that he threatened to quit, CNN is reporting, because he had been thrown under the bus. And we do know that there is a distinct smell of smoke in the air. And one of the oldest adages of all is if there is smoke, there is fire. What is the fire? Well, the fire clearly, and I've been saying this day after day after day, that if Trump is going to be in real trouble, it's going to be about Russia. Because it turns out that an awful lot of the people in the Trump campaign had to do with the Russians. Yesterday, we see two of the top Russian officials in the White House, the ambassador and the foreign minister, with Trump. And this is where we saw that Nixon went down. It's always the cover-up that gets you. It's not the actual act. So now, reminiscent of the Saturday Night Massacre, you see a terrible spate of firings of people who are getting too close. You see Preet Bharara going down. You see Mr. Comey going down. Could it possibly be that the naivete of the Trump forces was that if we fire Comey, the Democrats will like us a little bit more because they don't like Comey? It's just ridiculous. We know that Comey went to Rosenstein and asked for more resources for increasing the Russian investigation, and apparently that's what pulled the trap. And he had to go because he was getting too close. Now you have the New York Times writing an editorial and others writing an editorial saying this is outrageous, this has to stop, and the pressure gets greater. Remember, this is a president who hasn't been in office that long. So the tides are swirling around him. There are people who are saying that these firings and everything else are a sign of a kind of instability on the part of the president. The only time any of this is going to count is when Republicans believe that this is now so tough on them and their prospects for re-election that they begin to turn. And there are some signs that that is happening.
Alan, I believe what I read, too, was that the heads of the Senate Intelligence Committee have invited Flynn into a closed-door meeting where he could share classified information.
Well, that's right, David. The problem with Flynn is that he may well have some legal issues, which is why he's been asking for immunity. If the Senate gives him immunity, or if the Attorney General's people give him immunity, then he's free to sing. But on the other hand, he won't do it unless he has that immunity. Well, when somebody asks for immunity, it's often, not always, but it's quite often because they have something to be immune from.
Meantime, Russian President Vladimir Putin said Moscow had nothing to do with it, President Donald Trump's decision to fire Comey, that is, adding that it will have no effect on U.S.-Russia relations. He said, "Your question looks very funny for me," to a CBS News reporter.
Look, this guy's a dictator. Nothing means anything, and apparently nothing means anything to Trump. Trump was talking just a little while ago about how wonderful and gutsy Comey was. Now he's terrible. We are now so used to this kind of thing. If it were Hillary Clinton, they'd probably have her for reversing herself like that in a penitentiary somewhere. I'm just kidding, of course, but it is clear that there is massive hypocrisy going on here. And for Putin to be trusted for anything he says is ridiculous.
Yesterday, the education secretary, Alan, Betsy DeVos, spoke to graduates at Bethune-Cookman Historically Black University and was jeered, including many students turning their backs on her.
That's right. They got up and they turned around. I saw it on TV. And this has to do with the idea that black universities offer choice. No, black universities were there because black students couldn't get into other places. And so these colleges, and quite a few of them are really quite wonderful, offered the alternative. But it wasn't because they were being chosen necessarily as a first choice, because black students were aware that there was a system of basically educational apartheid going on.
Our political observer, Alan Chartok. By the way, we should remind people
yes.
that today at 9 a.m., the roundtable is on the road at the Times Union Hearst Center, a new space for these kinds of events.
That's right, David. We try to help them. They try to help us. We love the fact that they're doing that, and I hope that they remember that at the appropriate times.